I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details. When the world was assigned with this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin. Breathe in, breathe out, me and more. Breathe in, breathe out, never mind. It was time, number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list, hold on, we're destined.
Big old disappointing end to a very much hyped day as the Astros began the disappointment, not scoring a run against the Angels, and then the Cougs bowing out in the Sweet 16 to Illinois. I've been here since 02, as when I was just starting, well, I was young, 16, 17, however old I was at the time. Don't actually remember. I have to think about that. But either way, wasn't in Houston disappointment wasn't ingrained in me. I have come to know people who experienced it in childhood and still talk about it, and that became a topic today because of the Cougs and losing, where it felt like everything was lining up for them to make another Final Four run. We always talk about the ghost of Phi Slamma Jamma, and then this recent run of Cougar success never ending in the ultimate goal. And I saw a lot of people going, well, of course. Of course the Astros were going to start it that way, and then the Cougs in the nightcap would end it that way. So have the Astros' two titles not wiped that off the table? And the answer, I'm answering my own question, is no. People still feel like when it comes down to it, we're going to have disappointment. And really, that's kind of just being a sports fan. How many times are you happy as a sports fan? Think about it. Your team wins. If you're lucky, your team wins a title in your lifetime. And if you're an Astros fan, you've got that. If you're a Rocket fan who's 40 years old, you got that. But if you're a Rocket fan who's 30 or younger.
29?
You don't have that. The Texans or Oilers, Houston, if you're a Houston sports football, a Houston football fan, you don't have that. So, of course, life. Sports fandom is filled with disappointment. So you can go across the country and go, you're going to find multiple fan bases, almost all of them talking in the same way Houston fans were talking last night. It just hits home here because there have been some teams who have gotten really close and could not get over the hump. And we had a caller this morning say that the Houston Cougars are the Bills. And I brought that up earlier this week or last week. And I don't think there's any doubt. You have about a generation or two of a gap between both really good runs with the Bills and under Josh Allen now. And I say under Josh Allen because I'm not giving Bean any credit. It's Josh Allen's Bills. And then it was Jim Kelly's Bills. It was Phi Slamma Jamma, and now Kelvin Sampson's Cougs. So you had these big gaps between nearly reaching the summit for both. I don't know that there's a more apt comparison, particularly when each organization/program hasn't won the big one. And we still stand hoping that at some point this team, who has been one of the better programs in college basketball over the last 8 to 10 years, maybe a little less than that, can get it done. And it did not happen last night. And it is the way college basketball is going. If you watch that Illinois team and see how much size they have at all their positions, outside of one player, everyone who plays is 6'6 or above. Kylan Boswell is 6'2, but he's built like a linebacker. He's not really that size, but if you comp him to what you looked at as in that Cougs backcourt with Uzan and Fleming and Sharp, he looks stout. The Cougs defense, which is known for its pressure, its ability to cause turnovers, the trapping style, the blitzing style, did not affect Illinois at all. They didn't shoot the ball well in the first half, but they got their shots. The Cougs defense is the way it is because they want to create havoc. They want you to get to turn the ball over, and that really wasn't happening. Illinois is just big, strong, and when they took the Cougs off the dribble, they consistently got to their spot, whether they made their shot or not. Uzan, Fleming, Sharp, Flemings, and Sharp were not pushing those Illinois wings off their spot. They made it as tough as they could, but at some point, you're just smaller. You're just smaller than the guy you're defending, and he's going to get to where he wants to go. Stojakovic did it on several occasions when he wasn't knocking down some shots from the perimeter. That's what stood out to me, and it's the way college basketball is going. They would have that, even if they had beaten Illinois in a scenario where Florida doesn't get upset by Iowa, they would have had the same problem with Florida. Just size is becoming the main thing you look for in college basketball. Basketball used to be, hey, let's play modern, and it's used to be in the last 15 or 20 years, modern offense. We're going to spread it out. We're going to lean into skill. And Illinois has plenty of skill, but size plus skill beats skill time after time, and particularly when the Cougs weren't able to shoot the ball. Usually they can defensive rebound, offensive rebound, force turnovers, and win games that way. They didn't control either of those categories last night, and it led to a loss in the shooting, particularly in the first half, and then the long drought that we've become accustomed to in the second half, where Illinois really pushed the lead out. What was it? A two-point game at half. The Cougs came out, first couple possessions, scored. For first 2 to 3 possessions, they found a way to put some points on the board. But after that, a long drought that allowed Illinois to get that double-digit lead, and it just felt over. They got it within 9 at one point, and Illinois knocked down a couple threes to push it back to 15, and that was all she wrote. It was disappointing, but we've seen this time and time again, and I don't know what the answer is. You've got a great coach. You've got a great program. How do you suggest, hey, maybe changing what you do? Because when you get to play the elites of the sport, there just seems to be something missing in your offense. You got a top 5 pick, or at least a lottery pick. Whether Sinat goes this year or next year, he has a chance to be a first rounder too. Is it simply just bad luck that your guys in these moments just do not find a way to score? It was while it was disappointing, it felt inevitable at one point as you watch shot after shot, even open shots, the ones that the Cougs got, they weren't even close. It wasn't like rimming out. In that first half, they weren't close. It almost felt like they were shooting the basketball in NRG, like that whole depth perception thing when you play a basketball game in a stadium. It felt like that for both teams in the first half, but the Cougs' misses felt worse for some reason, maybe because of the hope, maybe because of the desperation at points, but it was a game that is a repeat of things we've seen in the past. You just thought this time it would be a little different. You're at, because of all the external factors at home, the one seed is out of the building, and yet Illinois' size and strength was too much. So the Cougs go home. We'll hear from Kelvin Sampson when we come back. If you want to join the show, you can, 713-780-3776. But before we go to break, let's ask Sean. He had a game he was locked in on early. was the offensive tip a foul or not a foul in the Purdue-Texas game?
It's one of those where it's like, I know they're not going to call that. You know, I know that, because if they call that foul, then Texas is shooting free throws to win the game.
Yeah, you're not making that call.
Yeah, it just, it almost like doesn't even matter.
I would agree. I don't think it was a foul, but even if it was a foul, at least in the way they referee games, it wasn't going to be a foul, and that's kind of all that matters. Yeah, whether you think it was or wasn't, that's never getting called.
Yeah, and they weren't really calling that all night. Yeah. So.
He got rooted under the rim by a bigger man, and as he's a 6'9" versus rooted under the rim, like, yeah. You shoved. Like, would you rather have shoved?
It's better.
I didn't say he made him his whatever. I just said he got shoved under the rim, so he couldn't make a play on the ball, and the Purdue forward did, and that was the game winner. Another instance of the great philosopher Mario Cristobal being right. Right, mass kicks ass. And sometimes if you're just bigger and stronger, you're going to win it, even in basketball. And that's what happened late, as Texas couldn't box out because you had a wing player out there against the guy who plays in the paint. What I did find out after the game, at least going through social media, people do not like how Purdue plays basketball. They got hit with the flopping. Hey, how are you guys going to initiate all the contact and then pretend that you got punched in the face to draw a foul? And the referees caught it because they allowed Purdue to get away with it, and Purdue caught it for a style of play. I saw someone go, it's 3:15 into the second half, and this is just more reason why I hate everything associated with Purdue basketball.
That Texas-Purdue started 30 minutes before Nebraska-Iowa, and Nebraska-Iowa finished like 5 minutes before the Texas-Purdue game finished. So it was just like constantly like reviewing things and constantly going to the line and stuff. Yeah. No, hey, it's not surprising that the powerhouse team that beats Cinderella, you know, that the nation isn't going to root for that. Nation was pulling for Cinderella last night, got their hearts broken. That's all right.
yes, the great Cinderella debate for Texas. I just don't like watching Purdue play basketball. That's all.
Purdue, like, unwatched. Like, this is how they have to be the 2 seed every year? And no wonder I saw a tweet where it was like, it was from the regular season, where it's like, I don't really watch college basketball, but every 2 weeks it feels like number one ranked Purdue is getting the court stormed on them.
Sure.
And it's like, at what point does it stop being an upset that you beat Purdue? And it's like, I see that, where I'm like, the entire second half I was looking, you know, there'd be a timeout or something and they'd flash the score, and I was just like, how is Texas like in this game? Because it feels like Purdue is just like, they can get a free throw whenever they want, and Texas is depending on Tremont Mark to hobble his way into a contested mid-range shot and just making it. It's like, this doesn't seem like effective offense the Longhorns are running, but they're going stride for stride with Purdue.
Yeah, I don't think
I say all this to say Arizona should murder that
run
team.
Them off the floor. Purdue rarely is going to have a team that's simply going to out-talent you. And it certainly wasn't the case last night. They're better than the Longhorns over the course of the season. It just didn't look like that on the floor last night, as Texas, who finishes 21-15, played Purdue to the brink.
Like, what? Even like in that game, it didn't feel like Texas was outplaying Purdue.
And yet,
like, it was just like a close game.
So there it is. That's one half of the Elite Eight decided. The Big Ten dominates. They are always going to have at least one team in because of the Iowa-Nebraska game, but then they get two in the South Regional, and they've got Michigan and Michigan State going tonight to see if they get a couple more in the Elite Eight. So they've been able to be the dominant force in college football over the last 3 years. Indiana, Ohio State, and Michigan have all won national titles in the Big Ten. From the Big Ten the last 3 years, now they got a real shot to get several teams into the Final Four, or at least a couple teams into the Final Four.
They got one.
They'll definitely have one. The question is, can they get three? Michigan State and Michigan have real shots, but they got to get through their Sweet 16 matchups tonight. So we'll hear from Kelvin Sampson there was some debate this morning about whether he sounded like a man close to retirement or is he ready to continue. So we'll play that clip when we come back. Once again, join us, 713-780-3776. Coming up at 11:30, Michael Carroll will be here with us. He is a Coug, so we'll give him some space to talk about the game, and then we'll get into movies and television like we always do. Jeff Blum joined this show yesterday. He didn't get to call a run crossing the plate for the Astros, so 3-0. We'll get into that. All of our fears about that lineup, at least for one game, came to fruition. So a lot to get to as we're getting started here. We will be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Kane is in the building there.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When you're 70 years old and you've been coaching as long as Kelvin Sampson has, people will ask the question, was that it for you? Are you done? I think it's tough to get a well-thought-out answer moments after your season ends and you're saying goodbye to some players you've been with for years and maybe some you've only had the opportunity to coach for one season. But the questions get asked. Here's Kelvin Sampson on the retirement question.
You always get a kick out of people that say, well, now you can take some time off. I will eventually, you know, not right now. But right now, you know, helping Emmanuel, Milos, Ramon, Khalifa, Kingston, seeing that, making sure those guys are settled, making sure they're organized on what their next step is, you know, helping them, helping the other kids. I mean, I've said this a lot over my career. I don't have to be their life, but they are my life.
So his next goal, his next stuff for him is talking to his guys, the guys who are the biggest part of this program, the ones he loves. So what are they going to do? The questions were asked of Kingston Flemings. What's up for him? He decided not to answer the question about his future, not giving a real answer about what's up next. The assumption is he's going to the NBA draft. We'll see. As hard to turn down being a lottery pick, but that'll be a decision for him and his family if it hasn't already been made. Mercy Miller talked about this being the most important summer of his life as he wants to take a more prominent role. I don't know if that is at Houston or someplace else. It's just part of the game today. You have to re-recruit your own roster. The Cougs have been able to avoid that type of exodus, so we'll see if that continues. But Kelvin Sampson, in the immediate future, will be focused on helping his guys. But what about in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, as he potentially has to make a decision on his future? Let's hear from Kelvin Sampson on the retirement talk.
I mean, I still like it. But you know, we all have our time, you know, but I think coaches have to, understand when their time is. I mean, we all know this is a young man's, game. I mean, I still like it, but you know, I mean, we're all going to step away eventually. I haven't really thought about that to the point where I can share anything. But I'm not going to get anybody's way, though. You know, if I'm in somebody's way, or if I'm overstaying my welcome, I'll be the first one to leave.
Of course, he has all the control in the situation. The person he would be standing in the way of is his son. There is nothing about what happened this year to suggest that the Cougs administration would say, all right, that's enough. You're past your prime. So, sure, you're not going to stand in anyone's way, but no one believes you are, and the program seems in fine hands. So whenever he wants to go, he'll go. We're at that point. It's very hard to get there, particularly when you don't win a title. But for what he's done for the program, it's a decision that'll be in his hands. The standing in the way thing I just find funny, because if you were doing that, it's for your self-appointed heir, your own son.
The person that would be most like,
yeah, you are in my way.
Are you sure? Like, because, I mean, what? Won the Big 12 like every year except for this one, essentially. Like, oh, yeah, nope. A two seed this time? Pack it up, old man. Like, no one's going to be saying that to Kelvin Sampson. He resurrected this basketball program. So I think as far as anyone that can overstay his welcome, if it's even possible for Kelvin Sampson to have his coaching skills diminished to where it's like, he's kind of a hindrance to what we're doing here. Like, it's never going to happen. He's a modest guy, so he's going to, like, say that. No one thinks that he's overstaying his welcome. He can coach to as long as he wants.
The hypothetical that he set up is pure fiction.
I'm overstaying my welcome.
No one will say it to him, even if in the deepest, darkest parts of their mind, they think it's the case where there is a level that the Cougs could go that can't be reached with him. It's not a thing. He will be here till he believes his time is ended.
To me, the like case for this might be time is because of what he's talked about in the first clip, where it's you're not going to have Sharp next year. You're not going to have Flemings. Is Uzan?
Uzan.
He's a 4-year guy, right?
4-year guy. Tugler has the ability to be back, so you assume he will be back.
Yeah, Tugler could come back. Sinak probably leaving, maybe comes back. It's like it is going to be a different team. I mean, we talked about Mercy Miller. Like, it is going to be a different team that he is taking over. So if there is like a part of his brain where it's like, I'm not sure if I'm ready for another like 3-year run of having to do this, maybe now is the perfect time where it's Kellen Sampson can build the next 2 years of UH basketball.
I guess the question would be in the scenario you're laying out, if everyone leaves that we expect, and then like Sinak decides whether it be because he gets paid to go play at another school, or he decides I wanted to go to the draft, would he put his son in a spot where it feels like however a rebuild would be contextualized, would he want to put his son in a spot where it would be tough, at least in their first year, to match anything that they've done in the previous years? That would be something, because we know the job is Kellen's when it's time. It's not like at Auburn where Bruce Pearl hung on until they couldn't do anything else but hire his son.
Yeah.
Their succession plan is pretty clear. While Auburn may have been like, well, we don't really want to hire the younger Pearl, but look what Bruce did us.
Yeah, if Bruce Pearl retires in March or in April,
there's a coaching search. And
yeah, like, and it's not going to be Stephen Pearl.
No, it's not. He did what he did to make sure his son got the job.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see it that way. So, but to me, if the team is like competitive and in the Kelvin Sampson, model, well, the best person to coach that team would be Kelvin Sampson. Like, I don't see him like building up another, core that can make a run to the Final Four. Like, this year's core was that good. And just be like, all right, I know my entire coaching career has been leading to this moment. I got painfully close in 2025. But now, in a title or bust situation, Kellen Sampson, you take the reins. Like, to me, it makes more sense to, like, no, you can build this program, to build this team, like, how you see fit. Because that would be, actually showing a level of belief in your appointed heir.
Sure. Approaches are different. I just... have seen where we want the best setup possible for you to succeed, as opposed to what could, I won't even call it rebuilding. They're the Cougs. They'll still, they'll be fine, whether it be through hitting in the transfer portal or the cup. I looked at their recruits that are signed. A couple big time guys. One's a top 60 prospect. I think the other's like in the 150 range or whatever. So whether any of those guys project as potential lottery picks after their freshman year, who's to say? Maybe someone has said it, I just don't know. But it feels like if they don't go hard in the transfer portal, there may be a bit of a dip. Not a giant one, but where they're not clearly a contender for the Final Four. It could be, hey, you're going to be in a tough conference and you're competing in it. You're going to win plenty of games. Maybe you dare to fall below a 2 seed.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're talking about them in the context of being like a top 5 team the entire season.
Yeah.
Where it's like the fallback might be you are merely like a 4 seed in next year's tournament. You know, like there's a high floor, it seems like. But, you know, this is also a guy, Kelvin Sampson, who, like last month, maybe a month and a half ago, was talking about how, like, hey, we just don't have, like, an infinite money cannon here. Like, it is hard to, you know, galvanize the funds to pay for Kingston Flemings to go to school here. So there is, like, an element of that side of things. Like, how long does he want to keep having to do that?
Yeah.
And do what's necessary in the fundraising side to get the talent in the door to compete.
I think he's back next year.
I also, like, if I had to call it, I would say so. But it is interesting that he's, and it's, you know, it's human that he's not ready to be like, yep, 100%.
You know what, guys? I haven't really had real discussions with.
It's been 15 minutes since the game ended.
With anyone of importance who would actually, who my decision actually affects. But I got an answer for you guys right now. Let's go.
We're Andy Katz, you're in here? Yeah.
Jeff Goodman?
Yeah, best out the pen. Write this down.
Yeah, in fact, let me pull you aside for an Andy Katz exclusive so you can break the story. So we'll go to break with that. Before we do, you know, we were joking about who would show up to these games who are either associated with the program. I was going to say former coaches, current coaches.
No wonder they lost in the regional semifinal.
Semifinals are where Sark tops out at. So I did not see whoever the Purdue head coach is in football. I don't know who that is. I think they might have just fired someone.
Is that past Barry Odom?
Is he there?
I think he's in there.
Didn't see Barry Odom. At least he wasn't mentioned. I did see Sark, as you said.
Yeah.
I saw Steve Kerr.
I saw Matt Campbell.
At the Arizona game. I did see.
Someone pointed out that Nebraska was up, and then they showed.
You mean not Matt Campbell.
Or Matt, the Nebraska head coach.
I know what you're saying. Why is that name slipping?
Matt something. The other Matt.
Matt Rhule. Yeah.
They showed Matt Rhule at the Nebraska game while they were winning, and they'd like immediately put 4 players on the court and lost the game in embarrassing fashion. Like, sure. Oh, Nebraska football.
That is Matt Rhule to a T. So that is – Sean is referencing Fred Hoiberg down 3, only getting 4 players on the floor, which led to a runout.
The Marcus Freeman is strong in him.
Oh, that was an Al Golden joint. Or blame Marcus Freeman for that 10-player defense in the final seconds against Ohio State a couple seasons ago now. That's tough for Fred Hoiberg. It's tough to blow a game to your biggest rival. And now Iowa gets to play Illinois for a chance at the Final Four. So the Nebraska run ends. Hoiberg had a lead for the better part of that game, and Iowa just closed. This Vulgaris kid, the one who hit the big three against Florida, had a couple big-time plays, including a poster dunk against Nebraska. I look at that Iowa team and go, it would be the guy from Spain doing stuff, because the rest of you guys...
Yeah, Sturts.
You fit all the stereotypes of an Iowa team for the most part. It would have to be a Euro who grew up in Spain to do stuff.
That takes the squad over the top.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw with Illinois. I mean, I do appreciate, like, a team that has a theme where it's just like, yep, we're the Balkans. Like, that's
who we are.
That's what this team is. We're 6'8" Balkan guys that can shoot.
Like, Brad Underwood was crediting one of his assistants for the game plan. The game plan was, hey, we'd rather have Sinak with the ball in his hands trying to knock down jumpers than anyone else. Watching the Cougs shoot, I don't think it would have mattered last night, whoever you decided to hone in on. But they decided Cenac shooting mid-range jumpers was the strategy. I got to find the guy who has an in the Balkans. Forget about the guy who decided that Cenac was going to be the guy we picked on. Who has the in? Like Stojakovic, the son of Peja, that's a transfer guy.
Yeah.
Who played at maybe Cal, I think.
Either Cal or Stanford. Yeah. But I forgot which one.
One of them. So fine, I'm going to remove him. He just fits the bit, but mm-hmm. that's the son of an NBA player who spent plenty of time here in the U.S. and he was already playing in the U.S. What about the other guys? Who has the Balkan
connect
pipeline?
I was thinking, and I have no insight on this whatsoever, but was it that they got Stojakovic first?
And he was like the Pied Piper?
Exactly, where it's like in college football recruiting, where it's like when you get the five-star quarterback, he can start recruiting for you, and then you get the receivers, you get the... So it's like, yeah, you know, we get Stojakovic, then we get, you know, we got Serbia on lock, we got Croatia. Like, anyone in Croatia is picking up their phone to play with Stojakovic's son, right? I actually don't know if that's true.
So according to...
He might be Slovenian, too.
So according to AI Overview, which you cannot trust, the Balkan Five, or the Balkan Block, BLC...
That's a great nickname.
...was a strategy by Brad Underwood just to find highly skilled, fundamentally sound European talent.
All right.
Why don't you just call him White, all right? Thanks, AI Overview. But according to this, it was a strategy. I would imagine you have all these bitches on your team.
Yeah,
I would imagine it was a strategy. It wasn't an accident. And they had Jakaciūnas last year, who was Lithuanian. So they have done this, and it has worked quite a bit. And it worked, unfortunately, against the Cougs last night. Just some big, strong dudes who can make plays.
It's like they're all the tall guy in the pickup game that can shoot. And you're just like, damn it! Like on one side of the court, it's like, yeah, it's a bunch of 6'5" guys trying to make plays against 6'9" guys. Of course this isn't going well. Like, yeah, no, I understand how the offense is bogging down.
So we do have an answer. Orlando Antigua, who was like, was it Patino's or Calipari's right-hand man for a long time at Kentucky, who had a chance to be a head coach, didn't work out for him. He's one of the guys along with one other assistant. So they sent that guy in and said, hey, this is what I want, and he's done it to great effect.
Worldwide Wesovich.
kind of. Keith, we see you. I imagine you may have some things to say about your hold again during the John and Lance show. Top three caller, treat it like a top 100 at best caller. On hold for 30-plus minutes. That's a rough look for you. We'll get to Keith and anyone else when we come back. But first, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. You know what they won't do? Make you hold for that long. Doesn't matter if you're a self-proclaimed top three customer. It doesn't matter. They're going to treat you great, no matter how you feel about your status as a customer. If you want to see all the things they have to offer, go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com and see what services fit your needs. It could be something like leak detection. Maybe you got an older house and you need a repipe. If that's the case, they are Houston's premier repiping company. They've had done over 1,000 of those, and they've got experienced, excellent contractors that will take care of you. So that's a big job, but there are small jobs that they do as well. Maybe it's just something you can't handle, like a leak, or maybe you need a fixture taken a look at. Drain cleaning, they do it all at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just call them, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Got a big reveal from Sean. Was unaware. You learned something new about someone, not every day, because I don't learn new things about Sean every day. But I did learn that I asked him about the color of my pullover, because it got in a wash and a color that shouldn't have been there in there was in there as well, and it tinted, at least I think it tinted the color a little bit. And he goes, can't tell. Don't ask me things about color.
Yeah.
I don't see color. You could actually say that and be real. Have you tried? Have you done that joke before?
No, I haven't found myself in the situation where I need that Hail Mary defense. But
prevent,
yes. But yeah, it's specifically reds and greens. I don't see well.
Got it. There you go. And I think this may be a mint green, thanks to a sock that shouldn't have been in the wash. And he says, "Looks white to him."
Looks white to me.
How many times have I said that? Looks white to me.
So, watching Illinois play last night.
Oh, yeah. Vich.
They had a Davis. The Davis was white.
Isovich, Vucevic, whatever. It looks white to me. Look like they were kicking ass, too, unfortunately. Let's get to Keith. He wants to talk Cougars. The Houston variety, I believe. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Tough loss for the Cougars last night. Pretty disappointing game. I remember calling John and Lance driving back from the title game last year. It's been a pretty good 10-11 year run for Kelvin Sampson. You know, I think they're number two in wins in that span behind Gonzaga. But the frustrating part about this team and, you know, the Illinois 17-0 run last night is, you know, last year's team had a big man down low in Juwan Roberts where they could get a bucket at any time, a rebound at any time to stop a run. And then, like, three really good bench players in, you know, Javier Francis, Malik Wilson, and, you know, Terrence Arsenault, who ended up transferring NC State. This team right here, like, the seniors regressed, Uzan and Sharp, and then the bigs were a little bit young. Tugler's never been an offensive guy. Like, if Kingston Flemings is not creating his own shot, like, the team struggled to find its place and get buckets. You know, Uzan not being the primary ball handler, you know, it's just a tough loss. You know, Illinois is really, you know, battle-tested. They're tall. They're big. You just 22 points and a half is just at home. It's just so disappointing. As for earlier this morning, 30 minutes on hold as a top three caller is insane. I get Chris in the Woodlands calling in, but taking two other callers like Anton and some other joker over me when I'm consistent as they come is insane. And then you go straight into news of the weird without even acknowledging that I'm still there. Mm. That hurt. Wow. That hurt.
Air your grievances on Monday morning because they ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm part of that show, but I don't determine who gets on the air. I just, hey, John, these are the callers and he picks and chooses.
It was to match the, I mean, it was only 6 minutes of game time, but it was probably like 30 minutes of real lifetime of the scoring drought for the Cougs last night.
Yeah, so it was an honor of you.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it that way.
Although the Cougs did score again, you did not get on air.
Well, he got on air.
Oh, okay.
He did get on air. Yeah. Not the show he wanted to be on air.
That's true.
So he didn't get the result he wanted, much like the Cougs. He mentioned Uzan. The regression is dramatic. He went from a guy who was a revelation coming here from Oklahoma, shot over 45%, over 42% from three, and that dropped to Fred Van Vliet numbers. And we all know what that looks like.
Yeah, it felt like he had to, like, be the one to fit around
Flemings.
Definitely.
Kingston Flemings took over as their most important ball handler. And
it never got comfortable.
Yeah, did it affect the other guards who had L.J. Cryer with them last year, so certainly a guy who was going to have a bit of a usage rate. But I don't know why Uzan became a much worse shooter or Emmanuel Sharp had his struggles. It's just sometimes how it goes. When someone else is added to the mix, your production changes or your role changes, and maybe sometimes your production drops, and that certainly happened with the Cougs. You talk about that bench. They had older players on that bench who knew their roles and contributed in a way that the young guys had to find. Guys who hadn't played a lot of minutes or no minutes at all for the Cougs had to find their role, and that changed and evolved over the course of the year. And we felt like maybe the first two games of the tournament, and if you ignore their Arizona problem in the Big 12 tournament, felt like maybe they were finding their way. Instead, this big, strong team who they couldn't push around did enough with that run in the second half to gain some distance and kind of ran away and hid from the Cougs as they're out in the Sweet 16. So appreciate the call, Keith. Take it up with John and Lance on Monday.
Yeah, that's
maybe call early, maybe 7:20 or so.
Set an alarm.
Actually, I would say don't, because if they don't get to you then they're not going to get to you.
What
during,
you learned this
what have you learned, unless you do have one sentence. So you
805.
Got, you got to understand the ebbs of that show. Yeah, at 805, where John's already clocked out for the day. He's still there, but the first hour will have, like, the first two segments will have everything that happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
He'll be at his best, and then you have his favorite segment of the week. And then he's kind of tapped out.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's a great gambit for him that he gets really just 1 hour a day of doing radio. And then his day's open at 8:30. Like, he has to stay for the next 2 hours.
Sure, he's still around.
But then, like, by 8:30 LA time, or 8 o'clock LA time, he's done.
Yeah, so.
Whatever.
805, the perfect spot for anyone, because he would be looking for people to talk to.
That, yeah.
So if 805 is when you want to call in on Mondays, if you don't want to be part of What Have You Learned, I would get you right there between, and 805 is probably the wrong time because we won't be back from a break till about 8:10. 8:10. 8:10.
Yeah.
Between 8:35, those are your times where you're locked in to get a call. Because
that's when Granato's tapping his helmet looking to get subbed out.
Yeah, he's pulling the Anthony Richardson. You're the starting quarterback. You're the lead guy. You can't tap out. Yes, I can. I don't know if you know. Yeah, I'm a Hall of Famer.
I got to Astros. I got to Cougs. Yeah, it's a Friday. I'm out.
It'll be Astros, Rockets to start.
Yeah, Rockets.
And then we'll get to What Have You Learned.
And then
we'll do some out. We'll do some Elite Eight stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And then it's your time to shine, guys. Just letting you know. If you want
to create plan.
If you want to create a game plan for how to get on, because you don't want to be in Keith's position where you're waiting for 30 minutes and then complaining to the next show about it.
Well, now, if so many people do that, though, there'll be so many callers that then this does create a 30-minute wait.
So you guys might be listening and think, man, they're really taking a shot at John. I'm trying to help him. I'm trying to create demand for that time so he can just go to people and talk to them.
Yeah, this is when he needs the help.
Yeah, this is not me. This is not me taking shots. I'm trying to formulate a plan so that Monday gives John and allows him to be the best he can be.
Because 9 o'clock hour, he's got that. He's
got news of the weird.
He can coast through that easy.
Yeah, but the 8 o'clock hour, you got to at least appear to be still be locked in. So let's go, guys.
Starting at
8:10, help the show, help Lance, help John, and keep us fresh from 8:10 to about 9 o'clock. And then if you guys wanna pass the baton to the host of the show, we'll take it back.
Pass the baton.
All right, we'll go to break with that. I'm gonna pass the baton to Michael Carroll at 11:30. If you're waiting, Eric, I know you're waiting. Anyone else waiting to talk to Michael Carroll? That's at 11:30. He'll join us to talk about TV and movies, and he will get into the Cougs as well. We'll give him a little bit of a runway to talk about his Cougs, because he along with AJ, at least as far as people who went to the school, biggest Cougs fans here. Hour one done. Hour two will begin when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home, with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at spinquest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.